KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. We are going to be having a news roundup day today. Again, so much taking place. Some of it, of course, deals with Iran and the fallout from the exchange of issues between the United States and Iran, and also we'll be getting into a number of other issues also going on this week. Here to keep you informed, we need to be understanding of the times in which we live, and certainly behooves us to know the truth and to be able to act upon it as well. We need to be salt. We need to be light. We need to spread the good news of the gospel in such times as these. We are not here by accident, ladies and gentlemen. God has a special plan and a purpose for your life, and certainly we need to be active in being ambassadors for Christ. Taking a look at some of the news here from this very week, the Gateway Pundit reporting that President Trump said yesterday that Iranian General Qassem Soleimani was looking to blow up our embassy in Iraq before he ordered the U.S. military to take the terrorist out. He also declared that as president, he does not need congressional approval to make split-second decisions to protect Americans. He said, "We took them out. We did it because they were looking to blow up our embassy." He said, "I think it was obvious, and he had more than this that particular embassy in mind. I don't have to get authorization," he said. "It would all depend on the circumstances. You have to make a split-second decision sometimes. We had a shot at him, and I took it, and that shot was pinpoint accuracy." The president said that Pelosi and her fellow Democrats are trying to defend a monster by condemning the killing of Soleimani. Pelosi said that the president should have asked for permission from Congress before conducting the airstrike. The administration has conducted tonight's strikes in Iraq, targeting high-level Iranian military officials and killing Iranian Quds Force Commander Qassem Soleimani without authorization for use of military force against Iran. Further, the action was taken without the consultation of Congress, she said. But people are also understanding that his predecessor, Barack Obama, launched more than 2,800 such attacks in Iraq and Syria without congressional approval. Well, the House of Representatives from FoxNews.com yesterday voted in favor of a war powers resolution meant to limit President Trump's military action toward Iran following this escalation in tensions. The resolution passed 224 to 194, mostly along party lines, but both parties had some defectors. 8 Democrats voted against the measure. 3 Republicans voted in favor of it. The resolution requires the president to consult with Congress in every possible instance before introducing United States armed forces into hostilities. The resolution says that Congress has not authorized the president to use military force against Iran. The measure directs the president to terminate the use of U.S. armed forces to engage in hostilities or against Iran or any part of the government or military unless there's a specific blessing by Congress. I guess you have to have Nancy Pelosi accept the phone calls, too, which she told Vice President Mike Pence, "I'll get back with you later." The president has a right and duty to protect the nation and our citizens from terrorism. That's what he continues to do, and the world is safer for it. That was a statement from White House Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley as he responded to the issue. Breitbart says, unlike Yemen war powers vote, the House's Iran war powers vote is not binding and will never be sent to the president. It is a political vote with no actual legal or legislative teeth behind it and will never make it to the president's desk. Also interesting news that's developed, and many media picking up on it. Here's a particular story from FoxNews.com. The Ukrainian passenger plane that crashed shortly after taking off from Tehran's international airport Wednesday was shot down by mistake by the Iranian anti-aircraft missile, Pentagon officials told Fox News. Officials said U.S. intelligence points at the airliner being accidentally struck by a Russian-made missile, killing all 176 people on board the flight just hours after Iran fired more than a dozen ballistic missiles targeting 2 military bases housing American and coalition troops. The revelations come as Ukrainian investigators reportedly are awaiting permission from Iranian authorities to examine the crash site and to look for missile fragments. Fox also reported that Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini said Wednesday that ballistic missile attacks targeting U.S. military and coalition forces in Iraq Wednesday morning was a slap in the face to the United States. Iranian state television later claimed through their propaganda without evidence that the strikes killed at least 80 terrorist U.S. soldiers, they said, and damaged helicopters and drones at the airbase. We know that not to be true. Here is a stunning story also that is coming out from the Daily Wire. On Sunday, a former NFL All-Pro defensive tackle issued a post on Instagram in which he showed an aerial view of the White House captioned with instructions for Iran to target it, along with a photo of the White House and the surrounding area in Washington, D.C. Albert Hainsworth wrote, "At Iran, if you're going to attack the United States, well, here's a picture for you, just trying to help us folks that aren't starting wars." My, oh my. Let's go on to WND.com. Amid tensions with Iran, fraudulent text messages are circulating informing individuals that they have been drafted by the U.S. Army. A statement Tuesday by the U.S. Army Recruiting Command assured the public the Army is not contacting anyone regarding the draft. From FoxNews.com, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced today that she will take steps next week to send impeachment articles to the Senate after delaying the process since last month in a bid to extract favorable terms for a trial. Well, the decision to release the articles came as fellow Democrats in recent days had started to voice frustration and impatience with the speaker's approach. They stressed the urgency with which impeachment was treated at the end of 2019 and questioned why the House would then delay a trial by using articles as leverage. Folks, it's amazing. Remember how we got to get this done, got to get this done, got to push it, and then she will not release them. Asked about Pelosi's decision to move forward on Friday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky said, "About time." FoxNews.com also reporting Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri joined with a host of fellow Republicans Monday to introduce a resolution allowing the chamber to dismiss articles of impeachment against President Trump for lack of prosecution as Nancy Pelosi delayed sending this case to trial. Saying in the real world, when a prosecutor brings a case but refuses to try it, the court has the ability and the defendant has the right, the constitutional right, I might add, to have those articles, those indictments, those charges dismissed. Hawley said in a speech on the Senate floor, that is precisely the action that I'm proposing today. Quote, Speaker Pelosi stated this bogus impeachment by claiming President Trump was an urgent threat to democracy who had to be removed now, Hawley said in a statement. He added, if Speaker Pelosi is afraid to try her case, the article should be dismissed for failure to prosecute and Congress should get back to doing the people's business. Another side note to all of this, and that is as WND.com reports, the Intelligence Committee, intelligence community's inspector general, who already had been rebuked for his handling of the whistleblower complaint that triggered the impeachment of President Trump, is under investigation, according to Congressman Devin Nunes. Nunes noted in an interview with investigative reporter Sarah Carter that the transcript of Michael Atkinson's testimony has never been released by the majority Democrats under the panel's chairman, Adam Schiff. Nunes said Atkinson is under active investigation. Also from WND.com, a Muslim teen who was accused along with his brother of starting a fire in Australia was seen laughing as he left court in Sydney on Tuesday. Fadi Zurika and his brother Abraham, both 18, allegedly set off fireworks that started a grass fire at a park near Sydney on December 22nd, the Daily Telegraph reported. On Monday, the New South Wales police announced it had charged 24 people with deliberately starting catastrophic fires that have ravaged many parts of the country. And also, as Pamela Geller reports, Australia arresting some 183 for setting these bushfires that celebrities claim are caused by climate change. Yeah, all the celebrities came forth in their big awards ceremony last weekend and talking about climate change and the travesty of these fires. Well, according to the Australian, police arrested 183 people for lighting bushfires across Queensland, NSW, Victoria, South Australia, and Tasmania in the past few months. That's 183 people who have been arrested for arson, resulting in catastrophic bushfires, displacement, property loss, the deaths of both people and animals. This is a news roundup here today on Crosstalk on VCY America from Pamela Geller as well. French anti-terrorist investigators said last Saturday that they've taken over the probe into an attack by a knife-wielding man who killed one person walking with his wife in a park south of Paris before being shot dead by police. Police said the man, identified as Nathan C., attacked several people, and they initially treated the incident as a criminal, not terrorist incident. The French National Anti-Terrorist Investigation Body said that while Nathan C. was known to have had psychiatric problems, worrying evidence had already emerged about his conversion to Islam and radicalization. Additionally, they showed a murderous path thought out and chosen of such a nature as to gravely disturb public order by intimidation or terror. A local magistrate told a press conference that Nathan C. had shouted the Muslim invocation, Allahu Akbar, during the attack. Apparently spared a first person who said he was Muslim and had recited a prayer in Arabic. So many times being treated as psychological problems or mental illness. Why do all of those with mental illness shout out Allahu Akbar? Question I'd like to have answered. Coming from the Epoch Times, the Senate Finance Committee approved sending the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, that's USMCA, to the full Senate. The vote 25-3, that vote happened on January the 7th. They also report that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he expected to put USMCA on the back burner as the Senate impeachment trial takes place. From Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, the Department of Justice's Office of Legal Counsel released an opinion that definitively invalidates the movement to revive the 40-year expired Equal Rights Amendment. In short, as OLC writes in their opinion, Congress may not revive a proposed amendment after a deadline for its ratification has expired. Phyllis Schlafly and her Eagles have been tireless in fighting ERA since 1972, said Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. The ERA ratification deadline expired in 1979 and again in 1982. We have long fought unconstitutional attempts to revive the ratification process. Now as Nancy Pelosi's out-of-control House hits the gas on reviving ERA, OLC is backing our long-held position and slamming the door on these hijacks. Or the hijinks, they said. The matter is closed. America knows ERA is bad for our nation and our Constitution. They have soundly rejected it over and over again. From SRN News, CNN has settled with a Kentucky teenager who sued the network for defamation over its coverage of his encounter with a Native American at the Washington Memorial a year ago. The amount of the settlement between Nick Sandman and CNN was not disclosed. Sandman had brought this $275 million, sought it in a lawsuit filed in federal court in Kentucky after he said the network falsely conveyed to its viewers that he was the face of an unruly mob facing Nathan Phillips, an American Indian activist. We all know, as we have seen the footage, though, it was the activist that approached Nathan Phillips. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when did the mammoths die?
Chris, the mammoths were thought to have died out about 10,000 years ago. And although evolutionists have admitted that early man must have seen the mammoths, more recent evidence has caused them much consternation. In the tomb of one of the pharaohs in Egypt is a drawing of men carrying ivory tusks on their shoulders. Next to them is an animal that sure looks like a mammoth, with hairy skin and a domed head, just like we see in mammoth fossils. And why not? Mammoths are a variety of the elephant kind, and two of them were on board Noah's Ark. Certainly humans knew of them, and from the earliest times have made use of their ivory. Chris, it's the back-to-Genesis view of history which makes sense out of the evidence.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Sharing with you a news roundup day here on Crosstalk on VCY America. A special note here to our South Dakota listeners. South Dakota, this is a press release from the Office of the Secretary of State. Secretary of State Steve Barnett announced a petition submitted for an amendment to the South Dakota Constitution. This ballot measure would legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana and require the legislature to pass laws regarding hemp, including laws to ensure access to marijuana for medical use. The measure would be titled Constitutional Amendment A and will be appearing on the 2020 general election ballot November 3rd, 2020. That announcement coming out from the Office of the Secretary of State for South Dakota. From Christian Headlines, Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy says in a new letter that the company inadvertently discredited what he calls outstanding organizations when it changed its giving strategy and pulled funding last year from the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Cathy said in the letter to the American Family Association also that the company has not waned in its corporate purposes to glorify God. He says, as you have seen recently, we announced changes to our giving strategy at the Chick-fil-A Foundation. Cathy wrote, some also questioned if our commitment to our corporate purpose was waning. Let me state unequivocally, it is not. Since 1982, our corporate purpose daily reminds us that we are here to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that he has entrusted to us. I've read through the whole letter. I've read through it. And never once did I see in his letter where Cathy reaffirmed their position that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's one of the questions. Has Chick-fil-A abandoned their belief in this? That's not addressed in this letter. Cathy also failed to address why they're now supporting Covenant House, which has affirmed LGBT-related issues, that never being addressed as well. So while there's a number that are backing away, there's others that have great concerns yet as to not only what Chick-fil-A said in their letter, that they regret discrediting outstanding organizations, but where do they really stand on this matter of marriage today? What is their position, and why is it that they would be supporting organizations that are affirming on LGBT-related issues? From WND.com, a civil war is developing in Virginia. Democratic Governor Ralph Northam asking for a $4.8 million 18-officer team to enforce his proposed plan to confiscate commonly owned firearms categorized by lawmakers as assault weapons, reports the Washington Examiner. His request appears to be in response to the adoption of Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions by some 91% of Virginia counties. Northam has declared that there would be war on guns after Democrats took the majority in the legislature. The resolutions are being promoted by the Virginia Citizens Defense League and Gun Owners of America. A story from FaithWire.com. You might know him, not know him by his name, but Jack Wilson is a hero. Wilson is a man who perhaps saved hundreds of lives last month when he pulled out his gun and shot a man who stormed into the West Freeway Church of Christ in Texas and began firing shots during his service. His heroism is a clear example of how good people with guns can prevent bad people with guns from harming them. Democratic presidential candidate Liz Warren, senator from Massachusetts, was asked during a recent campaign event if she could see the value in allowing U.S. citizens who are licensed and have gone through a government-sanctioned background check to carry concealed weapons. Without even missing a beat, Elizabeth Warren replied with an unflinching no. I'd like you to hear. I'm going to take you to that town hall or to that meeting that she had and taking questions from individuals and hear the question and also her response.
Hi.
Senator Steve from Plymouth.
Nice to see you, Steve. Good to see you.
Last week, there was another church shooting.
Oh.
And the only thing that saved the rest of the congregation were the other two people who there who shot and took out the shooter. Would you support a universal carry, concealed carry law for everyone in the country who's willing to be licensed and checked by the government?
No. Two more things about the data, because I think they're important, and I appreciate that you asked this question. The first part is, I say that the reason those people were injured was because somebody came into that church with a gun, and that's how it is that people got hurt in the first place. The second thing is, I don't think there's any data to suggest that universal concealed carry makes any of us any safer. I don't feel safer going to my church, knowing somebody could be sitting next to me with weapons. I don't feel safer going to the mall, knowing that some fight that ordinarily might have escalated into a little push and shove could escalate into everybody whips out weapons. I don't feel any safer. But I will say this. We've got a gun violence problem in America. And, yep.
We're going to stop the clip right there, but you heard her response to this. And what's interesting, do you believe if there had been this a huge sign pointed out to that church that said no guns allowed, that a gunman would say, oh, I can't break the law. I'm not going to do that. Folks, it's against the law to shoot somebody as he did in the church to commit murder. Did that stop him? Absolutely not. It was the good guys with guns that stopped the bad guy with a gun. And no effort to have posted some sign out there. Do you know that a majority of these mass shootings happen in gun-free zones, places that are marked or known to be gun-free zones? And she talked about lack of evidence. Oh, my. Folks, we could go on for days, months. Here is this from the Daily Signal. They put this out in mid-December as they examined just what happened in November. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention affirmed in a 2013 report almost all major studies on defensive gun issues have concluded that Americans use firearms in self-defense between 500,000 and 3 million times every year. The vast majority of them will receive little or no media attention. Sometimes, you know, you get the local media that will pick up on it. But it was a 2013 report on defensive gun issues that concluded that Americans use firearms in self-defense between 500,000 and 3 million times each year. The Daily Signal went on to give several examples just from the month of November. They posted them for all the other months, January through October prior to this one. And they said that November was also replete with similar stories. November 2nd, Everett, Washington, a concealed carry permit holder, intervened to stop a mentally disturbed man. Permit holder drew his handgun, detained the man until police could arrive. November 5th, in Genesee County, New York, a 76-year-old man used his shotgun to fend off an armed home intruder. The man was able to grab his loaded shotgun, shoot the intruder in the hip that held him at gunpoint for 15 minutes until police could arrive. November 7th in Glen Burnie, Maryland, a man was feeding chickens in his yard when his bulldog began frantically barking and he heard commotion from inside his house. He walked inside to find two acquaintances had broken in, were assaulting his girlfriend. The man grabbed an antique shotgun he kept loaded in case anything could ever happen and fired at the attackers, injuring one and causing the other to run away. In Texas, November 10th, a group of four masked would-be robbers charged into a jewelry store, began using hammers to smash into glass cases and grab expensive items. The store owner saw the thieves from behind the one-way mirror in his office, grabbed his gun, fired several rounds that wounded two thieves, sent them all running. The four thieves were later arrested by law enforcement, and all of the stolen items were recovered. November 14th, Port Charlotte, Florida, a disabled New York City firefighter recovering from serious injuries relied on his handgun for protection against a masked woman who broke into his home and assaulted him. November 17th, Burlington, North Carolina, a homeowner used his shotgun to defend himself against an axe-wielding man who tried to break into his home through a back door. The homeowner did not need to fire his weapon as the would-be intruder fled the moment he saw the would-be armed confrontation. Police later arrested the intruder. November 21st, Benton Harbor, Michigan. Two armed intruders broke into an apartment and ordered the occupants, including three children, to get down. The apartment renter grabbed his rifle and shot at the intruders, killing one and sending the other fleeing. November 25th, Miami, when a man armed with an AK-47 attempted to rob a 60-year-old concealed carry permit holder. The permit holder drew his handgun and killed the would-be robber. November 27th, Tulsa, Oklahoma, a man high on the drug PCP began stabbing his friend with a knife. The friend pulled out his firearm and shot the man, who ultimately died from the wounds. November 28th, McCleary, Washington, a woman shot and killed her estranged husband after he broke into her house and attacked her and a friend with a knife. November 30th, Ellenwood, Georgia, a delivery man unloading an order of bread at a Hardee's fast food restaurant when he saw several employees run out of the store in a panic, screaming for help. They told him that an armed robber had entered the store and was demanding cash while threatening other employees with a gun. The delivery man grabbed his firearm from his truck, ran into the store. A gun battle ensued, and the robber, who was shot several times, fled the scene. The wounded robber was later arrested. The local sheriff's department named the delivery man an honorary deputy and inducted him into its Posse Hall of Fame. On and on and on. Those are just 11 examples during the month of November. Let's hit another issue. Wall Street Journal, as reported through Reddit.com, in recent weeks, Republican legislators in at least five states drafted measures aimed at preventing athletes from competing in categories different than their biological sex. Lawmakers say they are specifically concerned about female athletes facing unfair competition. The bills introduced or pre-filed in New Hampshire, Washington, Georgia, Tennessee, and Missouri reflect growing attention around the issue of whether transgender rights protections are leading to unfair competitions in women's sports. Michigan. Here we have the story coming out from about the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, exploring the addition of a third gender option on the Michigan driver's license as early as 2021, reports the Detroit News. Exploring with a vendor whether it's a possibility to add a non-binary designation, you know, where you have M or F on the license, to put letter X instead. That's in an exploratory stage for Michigan. Let's go to LifeSiteNews.com. Planned Parenthood's latest annual report reveals that it aborted. This is hard, folks. Planned Parenthood's latest annual report reveals it aborted 345,672 babies and received just over $616 million from taxpayers during its 2018 to 2019 fiscal year. Planned Parenthood's taxpayer funding has increased by nearly 70% since 2008, reports Live Action. Total revenue over $1.6 billion. Net assets were almost $2 billion. From LifeNews.com, their annual report reveals and puts insight into its impact on society. These committed 345,672 abortions in 1 year's time. That means 28,806 babies were killed every month, 947 denied life every day, 39 hearts were sealed by abortion every hour, 24/7. Every month, their abortion body count is equal in human loss to the fatal crash of 69 fully loaded 747 400 wide body airplanes. Each day, Planned Parenthood's human carnage by abortion results in the equivalent number of over 17 school buses full of children. Shame on them, shame on us as a nation. We'll be right back. James 4:14 poses this thought: for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. But folks, it's absolutely disgusting. It's outrageous. It's barbaric what is taking place in the name of choice. 947 babies' lives taken every day. Every single day. The equivalent number of over 17 school buses full of children. Every month, that abortion body count equal in human loss to the fatal crash of 69 fully loaded 747 400 wide body airplanes. When will the killing stop? And then we have, provided by Operation Rescue, releasing their second part of a two-part report, The Status of American Abortion Facilities in 2019. And the report reveals the disturbing trend that more surgical abortion facilities are now conducting abortions at later gestational ages overall. Today, there are 710 abortion facilities in the U.S., comprised of 464 surgical, 245 medical abortion clinics. Of the 464 surgical facilities, 177 limit abortions to 14 to 19 weeks gestation, while 143 clinics will conduct abortion at 20 weeks gestation or later. Despite an overall decrease in surgical abortion facilities, these numbers represent an increase in the number of facilities willing to abort babies in the second and third trimesters of pregnancy. ChristianNews.net reporting that the Democratic governor of New Jersey has signed a bill into law that grants $9.5 million to family planning groups in the state, including the abortion and contraception giant Planned Parenthood. LifeSiteNews.com tells us a new Massachusetts bill would allow abortion for all 9 months and end parental consent. It's called the Remove Obstacles and Expand Abortion Access Act. It stands for ROE. Abortionists would no longer be required to preserve the life and health of the aborted child. The act declares that abortions may be committed past the state's current cutoff point of 24 weeks if a physician deems abortion necessary to protect the patient's life or physical or mental health, or in the cases of lethal fetal anomalies, or where the fetus is incompatible with sustained life outside the womb. The bill also eliminates the state's current requirement that minors cannot abort without the consent of a parent, as well as language requiring that abortionists take all reasonable steps to preserve the life and health of the aborted child. I'm thankful for an action taken by the governor of Nebraska. Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts continued to stand strong for unborn babies Wednesday by proclaiming January 22nd a statewide day of prayer to end abortion. His proclamation encourages Nebraskans to pray for an end to abortion and a deepening in respect for the humanity of unborn children, his office said in a statement. From WND.com, the Church of England recently announced Stephen Cottrell as the next Archbishop of York. At a meeting of church officials, Cottrell called for a radical new Christian inclusion, and he asserted his spiritual authority, saying, quote, "I have my views and opinions, of course I do, but I'm also father in God to all of you, and all clergy and licensed ministers make an oath of mechanical obedience to me, regardless of disagreement on some issues." He said, "Faithful Christian people interpret the Bible's instructions on sexuality differently. No one can ignore the ecumenical dimensions of the debate," he said, "but neither can we ignore the culture in which we are set, where same-sex relationships and same-sex marriage are not only considered normal, but positively taught and encouraged in many homes and schools as a social good." Cottrell admitted the Bible speaks on the issue. However, However, what we know now about human development and human sexuality requires us to look again at those texts to see what they are actually saying to our situation. For what we know now is not what was known then. Yeah, I am God. I'm your authority. And that was his position. WND.com, President Trump's efforts to secure the southern border with walls, fencing, and other barriers took a step forward Wednesday, with the court's ruling allowing him to reallocate $3.6 billion designated for military construction funds. The lawsuit has yet to be resolved, but the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals lifted a block placed by a lower court, the Washington Examiner reported. Also coming to us from WND.com, described as his biggest deregulatory move to date, President Trump on Thursday, yesterday, announced a sweeping rewrite of regulations to carry out the 1970 National Environmental Policy Act that will slash the time and paperwork required to get approval for bridges, highways, and other projects. His proposal would limit environmental assessments of new projects to no more than a year and the more comprehensive environmental impact statement to 2 years. The new policy, he said, dubbed One Federal Decision, requires agencies to work closely together to promptly deliver one decision. It took just over 4 years, he pointed out. He said it took just 4 years to build the Golden Gate Bridge, 5 years to build the Hoover Dam, and less than 1 year to build the Empire State Building. Yet today, it can take more than 10 years just to get a permit to build a simple road. Todd Starnes is reporting President Trump announced at a campaign rally in Miami that he will take action to restore prayer in public schools. He said, very good, I'll be taking action to safeguard students' and teachers' First Amendment rights to pray in our schools. The president went on to say, we don't worship government, we worship God. Todd Starnes also reporting that New York State Democrats moved to give illegals the right to vote. The state Senate passed legislation that would automatically register to vote all residents who apply for a driver's license, and that includes illegal aliens and non-citizens. In January, illegal aliens were given the right to obtain a driver's license in the state. See, that's step one. Step two now is to allow everybody who applies for a driver's license to vote. They said the looming law would reduce the incidence of voter registration fraud and voting fraud, as well as prevent erroneous disenfranchisement of eligible citizens, promote greater participation of eligible voters in elections. Let's open our phone lines today here on Crosstalk. If you want to comment on these or other current event news items, our number here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We've covered lots and lots of issues. You're welcome to pick up your phone and comment on those. 800-733-9829. From WND.com, in 2004, the U.S. Department of Defense released a report warning that by 2020, and guess what, folks, we're here, major European cities would be underwater. Britain would be plunged into a Siberian climate, and the world would be teetering on anarchy with mega droughts, famine, and widespread rioting. The secret Pentagon report was suppressed by American defense chiefs, noted John Nolte of Breitbart News. The report said abrupt climate change would bring the world to the edge of anarchy as countries develop a nuclear threat to defend and secure dwindling food, water, and energy supplies. Nolte noted that the country, contrary to the predictions, global temperatures have remained remarkably stable over the past decade. And what's also interesting from WND.com, more than a decade ago, officials at Glacier National Park in Montana put up signs warning visitors that the glaciers they came to see would be gone by 2020. Well, guess what? They're still there. So now they're having to change the signs. The signs in the Montana park were added by more than a decade ago to reflect climate change forecasts at the time by the U.S. Geological Survey, according to the park spokesman Gina Kurzman. In 2017, the park was told by the agency that the complete melting off of the glaciers was no longer expected to take place so quickly due to changes in the forecast model. But tight maintenance budgets made it impossible for the park to immediately change the signs. The warning, however, will be replaced by another sign that is much more nebulous. The signs will now say, when they will completely disappear depends on how and when we act. One thing is consistent, the glaciers in the park are shrinking. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. Corey in Washington, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim, just to give you a call and tell you how much I know me and probably many throughout our country are thankful to listen to all the news that you give us, and just want to be encouragement to you, brother, and continue on. I tell you what, when I was a kid growing up, I always listened to Paul Harvey with my granddad on the farm at noon, and it's like my thing I'm doing with my boys is listen to Brother Jim on Crosstalk, give us all that good insight, and know that we're praying for you. And, boy, I just want to tell our brothers and sisters in Christ, let's just awake unto righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, and I pray that we just continue to stand with all this news that you give us, and be the lights in our community.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother
Amen.
Jim.
God bless you, Corey. Thank you for the call. We've got Stephen calling from Missouri. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim. I wanted to ask you, sir, about Elizabeth Warren and her gun issue. I don't know this, but do they have protection while they're campaigning? Do they have Secret Service or anything like that?
My belief is yes, that they have armed protection. I did not see that. The clip that was there was very narrow in focus, but we have seen congressional delegations or those, you know, running for office that have had bodyguards, and many times these statements are made as they have armed security nearby them.
That's right, and other people don't know that necessarily. So she's being very much a hypocrite. Thank you for letting me make my point, and I appreciate you guys, okay?
Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Our number, 800-733-9829. Connie's calling from Kalispell, Montana. You're on the air, Connie.
Hi. God bless you for all you do. I love the show. We don't always get it, but I just remembered I can get it on my computer. My husband's in my main heart condition, the things we are concerned about besides abortion are unjustly incarcerated prisoners, and we work through Year of Jubilee, the Davises in Texas. I write a lot of prisoners, most of the ones on his, I don't know what you call it, but anyway, that he has all the information about are Christians. They actually bless me when they write me, I'm sure more than I do them, but LoneStar1776.com is another site, but the Davises just have given their life to at least try to encourage, send Bibles to the prisoners, books, meet their needs when they can, and it's just a great ministry, we feel, as well.
Great. Well,
and I believe that God wants us to stand.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your call here today. Appreciate it, Connie. Our number, 800-733-9829. Let's go next to Chip in Brookfield. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Questions for you. When editors like Christianity Today and other kind of liberal thought Christians need to speak, are there liberal radio stations, Christian radio stations, or do they go to CNN and other non-Christian, almost hateful stations? Do you know, I mean, how do they operate? How can they talk otherwise?
How do liberals talk and get their information?
Well, yeah, like, he's a Christian. He's a little off. if he wanted to say something in a Christian context,
when you refer to he, who is he?
Oh, like the editor from Christianity Today.
Okay.
You know, I think he's off base. I know the radio station thinks he's off base for what's been said. And I feel it's very worldly what he was saying. And not only was it worldly, it's so out of a Christian thought process. There would be no way for him to. I don't think there's any Christian stations that would adhere to what he was saying.
Okay, got your points here. Thank you for the call. I'm up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Continue our series on the dangers of discourse, not the dangers of debate. Not the dangers of conversation. But the danger of discourse or dialogue, where you seek to merge your values, your worldview, your convictions with that of a Islamist or Marxist. We learned, number one, that when you do this, you're embracing their language, like white privilege and white supremacy or racism, which are all loaded terms now. Number two, you're accepting their premise that there's something wrong with your position to start with. Number three, you are rejecting your own convictions and you're accepting their premise that there is not absolute truth. In other words, you're admitting their premise. By engaging the idea that you can have discourse or dialogue and merge your worldview and values with theirs, you're saying there is not absolute truth. You're agreeing that there is social Darwinian philosophies or ideas that as society evolves, morals evolve, the law evolves. Don't do it.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and just in response to the caller's thoughts on that issue, yeah, there is liberal media out there, but there is a lot in the liberal religious organizations as well that pick up on statements like that and say, they cheer it on. And we see groups even that have capitulated on so many different things, the National Association of Evangelicals and we see all these groups that are part of the interfaith movement as well that have capitulated on issues like life and marriage as to what it is. We see so many of these leftist religious groups that ask the question, "Yea, hath God said," instead of "Thus saith the Lord." And we find more and more that growing increase that is taking place, a forum where that kind of mentality that is coming through some of the opinion pieces or editorial pages are readily accepted and adopted by liberal organizations, religious organizations that all are part of this interfaith and let's be all part of this kumbaya and let's all get together. You know, the Barney mentality, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. And so they do have an audience in that regard, but let's measure it according to Scripture. And we need to get back to "Thus saith the Lord." And when we look at issues, I mean, we have people within religious institutions that are proclaiming it's okay to kill an unborn baby in the womb. We have people in religious organizations today that says it's okay for man to so-called marry man and woman women when God has said that marriage is between male and female. Jesus affirmed that himself as well. And so we need to get back to "Thus saith the Lord." And sadly, what's happening in so much of the religious movement today is instead the question, "Yea, hath God said?" Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Brad in West Dallas. You're on the air, Brad.
Hey, Brother Jim. Two things. One, did you give the name of that former NFL player?
Yes.
What was his name again?
I'm going to have to dig through the stories.
Oh, you can give it later sometime if you want. I just wanted to say it. For him to do something like that, he's got the same mindset of all these goofs that trash our cops, trash our veterans, and trash the nation during the national anthem by getting on their knees and worshiping the criminal element.
Albert Hainsworth.
Albert Hainsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing is, did you give the name of that so-called preacher who said that we need to revisit sodomy and see how it applies today?
Yeah, yes, I'm confident I did as well. I'm going to have to dig that story. I'll see if I can find that as well here, Brad.
Okay. It seems like he thinks Jesus needs to get hip with the times or something.
Yeah.
It says the same thing today as it said then. Don't do it.
Right. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Thank you for the call here.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And let's go to Charles in Nakusa, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Say, I have a running discussion with some friends of mine. They insist that Planned Parenthood has nothing to do with abortion. And they say, don't you listen to their name, Planned Parenthood.
Hmm.
Well, one of them says, it's good. It's where I go to get my condoms, and it's where his partners and some of the girls that they go to get their birth control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have to, all that stuff you said about Planned Parenthood and the great huge numbers and stuff, I really need it. I'll call in later.
Well, maybe you can send that information.
I'm going to give you the website. You can go to Life.
I don't have a computer.
Well, okay. Well, then go to the library and find that, or have a friend look it up. LifeNews.com, ChristianNewsWire.com has the story as well.
Christian News what?
ChristianNewsWire.com.
ChristianNewsWire.com.
Yeah.
Okay, I know somebody that has it, but. What is your thing at Planned Parenthood? I mean, they tell me I'm wrong, you know.
All you got to do is look at their annual report. Their annual report.
That's what I heard on the radio. That's what I want to get, you know.
I don't have the annual report before me right now, but I have the story. The annual report indicating 345,672 abortions in a year's time. I don't know what land the people who are telling you this are living in, but to say that that Planned Parenthood does not do abortions. Okay. Folks, issues are very intense. Charlotte in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, I would just like to comment about some things that I've been hearing on your radio show. There was a commentator a little while ago that was talking about the liberal media and CNN and their non-Christian or whatever. I watch CNN and I watch MSNBC. They have very honest reporters. They have reporters and commentators that are Christians. And they're a lot more honest than the president is. And I'm just getting so sick and tired of what I'm hearing on this radio station. I'm a Christian. I belong to an evangelical church.
Well, then, Charlotte, you would think you'd want to know the truth.
Yes, and that's something that we proclaim as the truth. And they are telling the truth.
Well, I beg to differ with you, Charlotte.
Well, listen to the president. He never tells the truth.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. And so your statement said he never tells the truth. Never tells the truth. I guess you need to evaluate that statement in itself. Kevin in Mequon, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I was calling in regards to the football players taking a knee. While I understand patriotism and that we should honor and respect our flag, those who fought for us, I also do believe that everyone does exercise their right to vote. My other concern is to the young lady that just called in regards to our president not being honest. I do think she makes a strong statement, and it does concern me because I feel as though, as an avid listener, this station does nothing but they claim it's the truth, fine if it is the truth, but the truth does not, and it should not be justified, meaning right for wrong for right. And that's what I feel like we do, especially when it comes to our president.
Okay, what have we said that is not truthful?
I mean, it is very, very, very clear that this is a strong Republican
state. Kevin, what have we said that is not truthful?
No, it's not the fact that it's not truthful.
Thank you. I'm glad you affirm that we're telling the truth. Our time is gone. Folks, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Lord's Day is coming up. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for joining us.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.